All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, April 21st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to help you get started, keep winning on FanDuel and or DraftKings MLB. You can get a free three-day trial, as many of you already know and have already signed up for it. It's free for 3 days to our projection system with optimal lineups powered by Lineup Lab, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you that trial, and then it's just $29.95 a month after. That includes our NBA projections as well. And if you stick with us through baseball, rolls right into football. So you are all good. We are not going to section it off by sport or by provider like some people do, or you know, up the price for more services. We have one membership service. That's it. You get everything that's included. I think it's about the best in the business, and I think you will agree too. How'd I do on that read, buddy? That was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you were crushing it from top to bottom as I was looking over my notes, not listening to you at all.
Quick story from last night. So I'm sitting in my office, which I have, we have neighbors that live kind of close to us. One of the neighbors has a son who he's probably like in his mid 20s, I would say. Who this is not the story, but the other day he came home wearing a Rob Segedin jersey from the Dodgers. Like, how often do you think you see someone wearing in? Well, I live in New Jersey, but how often do you think how many people in New Jersey right now are wearing Rob Segedin jerseys?
Well, I can't speak to New Jersey. I don't live there anymore, but I will say I see them pretty frequently up here in New Hampshire. So I'd have
total
to
lie.
Say.
So. Last night, I hear
that was rude.
I'm watching basketball. I got my windows open, and I hear him come out into the deck, and he's like, I can't believe they would do this. He's talking to someone on the phone. You'll see where I'm going here in a second. I can't believe they would do this to us. This is ridiculous. It's just not how you treat friends. Oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do about this? Like a really impassioned speech, right? Like I was like, sure. Oh. His best friend cheated on him with his girlfriend. Like I was like trying to guess what he was like. It was so impassioned that I just was trying to guess.
Yeah.
This goes on for 5 minutes of just what are we going to do? How do we respond to this? Turns out in his baseball league that he co-owns with his friend, someone had traded Bryce Harper away for less than they had offered him. And now the plan was to veto every single trade going from here forward. So
yeah,
I just,
sure.
I thought that was a, I thought it was a nice way for me to end my day, where someone else is getting as upset about Bryce Harper things as people in our users were last year. Anyway, let's go on to a quick Friday. Hopefully he doesn't listen to this podcast. I don't know what the overlap for my neighbors is that listens to the podcast. I don't know, buddy. It's the same percentages of people wearing Rob Segedin jerseys. Where
I
you
did
live?
Meet a guy once in person who knew what DFSR was.
Really?
Yeah, I told you about
That's
that.
Great.
He was at one of my soccer games. He was like, oh yeah, I went to that site once.
Yeah, once.
That was it. He didn't say like it was awesome.
I'm not sure how we do with branding. Some of my best friends, I don't think, could even go to the site, even though we get good analytics. But man, sometimes people in our own lives.
Yeah,
all right, here we go.
A million people stop by the DFSR website in a month, and like none of them are anyone we know. But
yeah, no overlap with our own personal.
That's life, baby. That's life.
All right, baseball Friday, full slate. A lot of stuff to talk about here. And you know, we have a Coors game going. We have some interesting stack options. Pitching is a little iffy, but we can talk about that one first. You know, while I was staring down the list of pitchers from last night, trying to throw out the guys that we were going to write out for the day, it was obvious in some ways, and it also didn't make me feel all that great. So we're going to have to start with a cash game pitcher. We have some inflated prices because of Coors, which we can get to, and you know, sort of where we're going to go. Let's start with pitcher. Throw out a guy for me that you think that we could target, maybe that's chalk, that we can get away with on the price. Who are you looking at today?
Yeah, I think DeGrom is the first one I'm looking at. I mean, the guy's been better this year than even last year. Last year he was an ace. This year he stepped it up even further, more than 10 Ks per nine, fewer than two walks per nine. Everything else is pretty much in line. He's definitely running a little hot on the batting average on balls in play, but the xFIP is still considerably better than it was last season. Granted, we have a small schedule or a small sample size, strength of schedule questions and all that kind of thing, but on a slate where there's really a lot of problematic pitching, like you can go up and down the slate and not really find another ace in a reasonable matchup, and he's the guy I'm targeting. First of all, there's DeGrom, of course, and then there's Washington themselves. The Nationals are pretty good. You know, it's not one of those matchups that you're going to rush out and triple your buy-in or anything because DeGrom's facing the Nats, but just about league average against right-handed pitching last season, league average K rate. So you're basically just getting DeGrom in a kind of a vacuum, and he's good enough to warrant that price.
They scratched Daniel Murphy yesterday, and then so you know usually late scratches mean a guy's injured. Like it's not like he's just like a rest day. He was in the lineup, and they took him out. Not having Murphy there again tonight, it would make me feel a lot better about DeGrom.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of their big left-handed bats. And a revenge game, Doug.
Famous. Yeah, hashtag revenge. Actually, yeah. I'm wondering. See, the line is pretty low. I believe the Nats right now have the lowest implied run total of 3.1. That, to me, makes me think that Murphy's just not playing. Like, I don't think it would dip. I don't think they think he's playing and it's going to dip lower if he doesn't. I think that implication is that he's not playing. So it does help him there because they replace him with a righty. I believe they're going to replace him with a righty bat in the lineup anyway. And Worth sat out yesterday too, but I'm not sure if that was an injury.
Yeah, so Worth is premise against right-handed pitching too, so that doesn't really...
Right, because they have Eaton at the top. That's a trouble spot. And they have Harper. They hit Wilmer Defoe second yesterday. That's a zero. So you're not worried about whatever's happening there. And the rest of their bats are like Zimmerman, Rendon, who are just righty... Alrighty, guys. So, I think DeGrom is right up there. Like I said, his implied run total is, I believe, the lowest on the day. And you probably, I mean, would you feel, you just feel better if Murphy wasn't in the lineup?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Murphy was available to pinch hit last night, so there's some chance he'll be back for tonight's game. He's not on the disabled list or anything like that. So, yeah, keep an eye out for it. Would feel better. I think I'm going to play him either way.
The other guy I think we can target here is Kluber against the White Sox. He's a minus 160 right now against Chicago. That got bet up. It started at minus 145. It's bet up to minus 160. He's been just kind of Corey Kluber-ish. The strikeouts are down just a tick this year. Walks are up a little bit, but I probably stack that up to sample size.
Yeah.
The worry number you're looking at for him is the ERA. It's 6.38, right? So... that's a problem. There's specific reasons probably why it's happening. His left on base percentage is bad, way down. Can't imagine that doesn't tick back into like a normal range over the course of a season. So he's normally like in that 74% left on base percentage. He's down to 63% so far in three games this year. That doesn't seem like a sustainable number. The xFIP is only 4, so still not great for him, but it's not anywhere close to the, like, people will look at that ERA. How much do you think people look at ERA this point of the season, like, help it influence their decisions? Like,
I mean, the average part of the time, right? For sure, no question, right? About it. I think they certainly overweight it, and it's funny too, because ERA is one of these stats where over the course of a whole season it can fluctuate in terms of like its accuracy, and I think people are so used to just baseball numbers in general that if you used slightly different terms they would be a lot, you know, be able to comprehend them a lot more. So like, let's shift over to batting average, for instance. People are like, this guy's a 320 hitter, he's like amazing, he's having an incredible season. This guy's a 280 hitter, he's average, he's a bum. That's actually just 4%. Like, that's right. That's what that means. There's 320 means 32% of the time he gets a hit. 280 means 28% of the time. ERA works much in the same way. You know, a 3.5 ERA and a 3 ERA equates to one run over 18 innings. Like, that's so susceptible to variance. And, you know, trying to split hairs between a 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5 ERA this early in the season is a full-on fool's errand. ERA won't normalize for a much, much longer time, normally over the course of multiple seasons. So I would not use ERA even the littlest bit this time of year. I would use strikeout-to-walk ratio, you know, batting average on balls in play, home run to fly ball ratio, ground ball rate, all that kind of stuff, much more so. And even more than that, I would just use last year's stats. So that's kind of my speech on what stats we should be looking at right now.
And I say, like, Kluber's, the K's are down, but not like in a troublesome matter. It's like, you know, less than 1/9 down, and the walks are up less, you know, 0.6 up a lot last year. So it stands to reason that he's just very much the same pitcher as he was last year and the year before that and the year before that. Although,
sure. Well, and again, let's put that in a context super quick. Like, 1K/9 is a lot over the course of the whole season. Over the course of three games, it's just the difference between if you faced a team like the Rays or Diamondbacks, like one of these teams that strikes out a lot, or if you faced a team that struck out the 10th most, like the Orioles, like, right. 10% of your overall strikeout total, relatively speaking, is just nothing. So I just wouldn't, you can't go crazy this time of year.
He does get a White Sox team that is striking out a lot against righty pitching so far this season and has over the course of their career. So it's not looking at a small sample size here. Guys like Tim Anderson strike out a lot. Abreu is susceptible to K. Same with Frazier. Melky Cabrera doesn't K all that much, so you don't get anything there. But they're still hitting Tyler Saladino first. I like Kluber a lot. Our system likes him a lot. I think we probably end up with either him or DeGrom at the top of this cash game list. It's pretty close. They're similar in salary. So I think this is... I suspect this is the decision most people are just trying to make in the end.
So what about John Lester, though? You know, he's another guy I was looking at. I think you're right. I mean, for us, I think DeGrom, they're similarly priced. DeGrom just has a much better money line. just in terms of implied total and that kind of thing. John Lester to me is still pretty interesting. Like, and maybe this is just a big tournament play, but I think a lot of people will look pretty hard at him. The Reds last year were just pretty darn bad against left-handed pitching. They were, let's see here. Yeah, they struck out the fourth most against left-handed, or I'm sorry, the seventh most against left-handed pitching, and we're also very down in the league in terms of WOBA against lefties as well. So, yeah, fifth worst in terms of WOBA against lefties. I think Lester actually will get a lot more look than maybe our system wants to give him, but I'm a little bit spooked by how different his implied total is from DeGrom's. Like, do you have any sense as to why a guy like Lester would be projected to give up just so much more run action than DeGrom would be?
Ballpark would be my guess. The Great American Ballpark is like the second worst place to pitch after Coors. I'm pretty sure it's like it's close between there and Chase. Yeah, it's real bad. I'll look it up.
Like top 10, but not quite that bad. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the park factor on that is about as high as you can get. And I will. I'm either going to pause here for a second and look it up, or just going to keep rolling with it. My guess there is ballpark, because the Reds have. You know, they have Votto, they have Duvall, strikes out a ton. Billy Hamilton, I believe, is much worse against lefties. I really do think that it's probably ballpark influencing just kind of most of that run line, and I'll just kind of go with my guess that that's my hunch there. The problem with Lester too is he's just a little more expensive than those other guys, and if you take all other things being equal and the guy that's pitching in like the much worse park, although I'll take it back, because Kluber's pitching in a pretty darn bad park too in Chicago. So yeah, I don't know. I think that would be my guess without, you know, going knocking on Vegas's door and asking, hey guys, what's up? What's up here?
Well, he and Kluber are fairly comparable. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just think the Reds are better at hitting than we do or something. It's one of those close ones. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to throw Lester out there because I think you'll see. Yeah, I think he might be higher owned than Kluber for cash game purposes.
I'd probably take the under on that. The other guy that sort of falls into the same salary range is Verlander. That game started, I don't know if someone made a mistake, but the game started at 9 over under and then got bet down to, it's at 7.5 right now. He's right in that same range as implied runs, sort of as Lester against the Twins. He's a minus 137. Twins are right around that 3.4 range. Twins are interesting. I feel like I've never picked a pitcher correctly against them. That's probably just in my mind, in terms of just whether or not it's true. But I do feel like the last couple times we've played guys against the Twins have been able to just kind of put some rallies together. I think Verlander's an interesting spot. I wouldn't overspend for him there. The Twins lineup has a couple guys in there that don't K all that much. Like, you know, Mauer doesn't really strike out that much, but like guys like Sano do. So he's interesting, though I wouldn't go overboard. One guy that our system is picking up on here, and I really looked at this, and maybe you can speak to this, but on DraftKings, we're going to get the stacks tonight, and we're going to get to why this might be happening also. But on DraftKings, whenever you have a game in Coors, that's going to start by inflating some prices across the board, right? So we're hoping to get possibly some cheaper options. There are also a couple other advantageous stacks that are going to cost a little bit of money. So you're not going to, there's going to be some guys you're going to want to pay for tonight. Now, I'm rounding back around to Alex Meyer is 4,700. He's showing up right now on DraftKings in 100% of our lineups. I have him at 4.9 baseline innings pitched. So really low. And yet he's in 100% of lineups. Do you think this is something like, have we made an error here? The reason I'm telling you the implied innings pitch is because we, you know, a lot of our calculations are based on, you know, number of innings, and then we have a bunch of multipliers that kind of tick you up or tick you down depending. 4.8 or whatever I have him at now is really damn low, and yet he's 100% of lineups. Like, is this something that we're going to need to switch? Is it correct? Can we roll with this? Speak to me about Alex Meyer because I'm worried.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable to see a name like Alex Meyer and not be excited. So let's say that first and foremost. But this is an interesting thing about playing on DraftKings, where on FanDuel, we've talked about this endless times, but you can pretty much just choose among the top five most expensive guys and pick the best one of those. DraftKings, there's a little bit more art to it, because while you can still usually get one top-tier starter, oftentimes you kind of have to hold your nose and pick your second guy. And I think Meyer actually has a lot going right for him tonight, so let me give you the case for him to start. The first is that, you know, there are a number of reputable season-long outfits out there that you know, try to project guys over the course of the whole season and how they perform. And those ones like Alex Meyer to be something like a, you know, between 5.6 5.9 innings per start type of guy. And if he's going to pitch that many innings per game, it's really pretty tough to not pay value on these minimum style prices on DraftKings. So that's just already, that's in a vacuum, and, you know, totally ignores matchup and game script and all that kind of thing. And then there's actually a lot going on here too. I think, you know, we'll talk about park factors when we get to stacks and how kind of misunderstood they are by a lot of people out there. But while there's a lot of really well-known pitchers' parks out there, like Petco, say, I guess Petco and Safeco are the ones that come to mind most readily, LA, the Angels, they play in a really great pitcher's park as well. They've ranked in the top five in terms of park factor for pitchers for years and years and years, and he really benefits from that. You know, the Blue Jays, they not only are they missing guys who have a lot of pop like Donaldson, but they also have guys like Encarnacion just not on the team anymore. So the Blue Jays, not quite the same team. They also just haven't been performing that fantastically on the offensive end this season as well. So you kind of take those factors together, and Meyer starts to look a little bit more attractive. And then the last one, is, as we know, is that opposition matters, right? And getting the win really matters. And Matt Latos is pitching for the Blue Jays. For some reason, this guy's still in the major leagues. We can't really figure out why. We were having this come-to-God moment earlier when we realized he was a rookie in 2009, which feels like all at once yesterday and 50 years ago. But
I would have guessed like 2002. And that's only because I have like I do a really bad job of just figuring out where in time we stand like now. So I was I'm just like, oh, it's 2017, right? That was 8 years ago. Like, my life was drastically different eight years ago. Yeah. But for some reason, that doesn't feel that long ago. Anyway, yeah.
So Latos is one of these guys who, like, was always going to break out, never quite did, or did, and then had injury issues, et cetera. But, yeah, the Vegas likes Meyer and the Angels as a minus 139 favorite. I can't disagree. The Blue Jays are in a total state of disarray, 3-12 this season. And, you know, you kind of take all those factors together. Could Meyer just blow up and suck? Absolutely. Like, that's going to be in play whenever you're going to get a pitcher at these prices. But he was kind of a real prospect. He's got good strikeout stuff. The potential to blow up and kind of walk a bunch of guys and be out of the game quickly is there. But actually, he has just a lot more upside than most pitchers in this price range as well. So, you know, you kind of start stacking up all these little factors, these little edges here and there, and I think you have a great play.
Yeah, it's you pretty much probably talked me into it.
You called me up telling me that you just wanted to lower his innings to make –
So and I did, and it didn't matter. I did lower his innings, and it still didn't matter. So I think at that point, we kind of just kind of call the ball and say, look, we've made some reasonable assumptions on a guy. We've actually lowered those assumptions just because it cannot look that great. And then you just look into, like, what are the mitigating factors that are producing this projection? And you hit pretty much every nail on the head. Like, it's a bad ballpark. The Blue Jays have basically only right-handed hitters in that lineup. Like, anyone who's anybody, and it's really only Batista, and he's been terrible, is a right-handed hitter. Like, they're going to hit Ezekiel Carrera second. Justin Smoke, I believe, is a switch hitter. Kendrys Morales is a switch hitter. But, like, they really don't have anything. And when you get to the bottom of that lineup, it's really Ryan Goins, Darwin Barney. The lineup is just not very good. And they've been running bad this season, too. So don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, overweighting what the Blue Jays have done early on this season. But I think I'm willing to go with it. It seems like a high variance approach. Another good sign for the Angels, Matt Latos. His player, we have a player ID system, his player ID system in our thing is it ends with 666. So it feels like the kind of making a. I just saw that. Making a deal with the devil.
That's a great point.
Yeah, no, I feel like that matters, right? Like, just like a deal with the devil kind of thing. No, so Alex Meyer, I was sure we're going to get questions on him. I'm prepared to answer them. I think you did a great job of kind of summing up just the reasoning why, and then you set it and just watch
and
the game.
Crush it up and down. There's no question about it.
Just kind of pray. All right, so one of the reasons you can consider a cheap pitcher like him and maybe some – and we are helped by – none of the pitchers that we talked about before are – none of them are priced over $11,000. So you're not paying a huge premium on any pitching tonight. There's a game in Coors. It inflates prices for sure. Like, we know for a fact at this point that FanDuel and, to a bigger extent, DraftKings will – tick prices up significantly whenever a game heads over to Coors. One interesting thing here, I went back while you were talking about Alex Meyer. I did look up the park factors. For 2016, Reds and Rockies were tied for park factors at 113, according to FanGraphs. Now, what you don't get is huge inflated prices when you go to Great American Ballpark. You do get it at Coors. For the Giants, guys like Posey, guys like Belt, I'm just thinking of the top of their lineup. These guys, the guys that are standing to hit at the top, they've all been increased like 26 to 30% on DraftKings. Is it just too much to pay for these guys? Like, is that just too much of an increase? And it's basically the sites are saying, it's Coors. Everyone knows it's Coors. We're going to inflate the prices, and then you're going to need to kind of just make the decision on your own, which a lot of people are going to want to do. Like, where do we stand with the Giants right now?
Yeah, well, I think the Giants, you ask a complicated question, maybe more complicated than it sounds to the user at home, because we can't take any of this stuff in a vacuum, right? We would maybe look at the Giants more differently on a three-game slate than we do on a quite a big slate tonight. So really the question is, what does their value look like relative to some other teams? And you made a great point that Vegas has now done, DraftKings and FanDuel have done a really good job at adjusting for Coors. Coors is a known quantity, and they're happy to move, you know, these guys' prices around based on playing in Coors. But they haven't really done so in some of these other tremendous ballparks. And so, sure, while the Giants, there might be some value there, and certainly there's some upside for stacking for big tournaments. For cash game purposes, I think my eye drifts a little bit more towards some of these, you know, underrated ballparks, you know, Arizona, Cincinnati, and those kind of places. And I think for cash game purposes, you know, it reminds me of the concept of a public team when you're betting football in Vegas. Yep. Or something like that, where it's like, sure, are the Steelers a good team? Yes, but everyone, people across the country root for the Steelers, and so you pay a premium to bet on them. Right now, we're paying a premium to play teams that are not Colorado in Colorado. So, yeah, while I'm interested for big tournaments, Chatwood's not the greatest pitcher of all time. My eye is kind of drifting elsewhere.
Okay, so where are we looking then? So if we think, because right now, if you run all optimal lineups on our site, you are not getting, I believe, any San Francisco guys. Sure. And definitely no Colorado guys against Cueto. The run line is just too low, and those prices ticked up considerably as well. So if we're going to fade, you know what? I take that back. Posey is showing up a little bit on DraftKings. If we take San Francisco, if we're going to go fade on Coors, never feels good, but I think it's probably correct. What are some of those stacks we can kind of target?
Yeah, I think I'm looking at the Dodgers in Arizona. I mean, I already talked about the fact that Arizona is kind of an underowned or underappreciated batter's ballpark, and the Dodgers just have a lot of guys that should be in a pretty good spot tonight. So first of all, Corey Seager's, who's kind of a beater out of shortstop, just 3,500, great lefty-righty matchup here. Grandal, switch hitter, great peripheral stats this season. You know, you can kind of fill in around the edges depending on who plays. You know, even Yasiel Puig, even in a not a positive platoon spot. I just think that there's so much value on the Dodgers. It kind of depends on who bats in the top four in the lineup, but that's a much happier place for me to begin, just because I'm getting all of the great aspects of Coors, pretty much. Well, I mean, not quite, but most of the great aspects of Coors without paying a 25% premium. Adrian Gonzalez, another great play. Like, there's just so many guys on the Dodgers that would slot so nicely into a cash game lineup that I just can't even be bothered with Coors almost.
It's funny, most people don't have like their own projections. Like, we have a projection system we can look at and kind of just hearken to, and it's easy for us because we can, you know, we're covering most of our bases, and then we'll just fill in around the edges when things don't, like, you know, quote, look right or don't look right, whatever. But if you don't have that and you're just listening to this and you want to make good decisions, just, you can use Vegas as like a quick, a dirty run way to just look and say, so if you look at just Vegas totals right now, implied run totals, right? San Francisco, 5.3 runs with a 29, let's say, I'll even round down, 5.3 runs with a 25% increase on all their players, right? LA, 5.2 runs with no movement on their pricing, right? So what's the reality? And what's that?
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and so this is a really hard thing for people to understand, right? Like, the sites have done a good job. And they've done a good job with platoons. Like, they've made some stride. They've, you know, they've done a good job of, like, when you're facing a guy like Kershaw, your price just kind of drops off a cliff. But they have not done a great job of these other, like, middling plus ballparks and good matchups for teams. Like, they just haven't. This is the inconsistency or the inefficiency that we need to take advantage of. So if you're looking at it, look at a team who has had no price movement that is now in a great spot. LA, it really just checks all the boxes. And I do think we're probably coming around a little bit. Like, I think you'll see a team like the Dodgers, and there's a couple other teams here, higher owned than you would have seen in the past, simply because any projection system, my guess is, just about any projection system, is figuring some of this out, right? Like, is that these run totals and the matchups, like, the ballpark makes some difference. It doesn't make all the difference. And so I do think the industry is getting a little bit smarter when it comes to stuff like this. Baseball is also one of these totally maddening things. Like, this could be the game that the Giants just put up 12 runs. Like, it's totally within play. And then it's going to confirm biases that you have about when you should play a guy and when you shouldn't, depending on price. Like, people say, oh, you just stack cores no matter what. Well, it's not no matter what. And unfortunately, baseball is one of those sports that can, like, confirm bad decision making on your part, and it'll cost you.
Because it absolutely could work out, right? And playing guys in Coors is always kind of a high variance play. Just because you're paying more for it. Like, obviously, in the old days when we could just take the away team in Coors and not have to pay more for it, just thinking longingly on those days when it felt like we were living in a crazy house, and you're like, I mean, I guess I'll take Buster Posey at the exact same price he was yesterday in San Francisco in Coors. I don't know. And he's only like 40% ownership. Yeah, those days are long past, unfortunately. But yeah, so I think you make a great case for it. I think breaking down the way Vegas does is totally sensible here, and it just seems like it just seems like this could be a great edge going forward in the season.
Another team that we're probably getting some decent prices on. We mentioned Latos before, that he's facing the Angels. Angels not a dynamic offensive team, but this is a case where this is Matt Latos we're talking about here, and he stinks. So right now I think I have the LA at 4.7 implied runs, not 4.65. That is about as high as I've seen them all season long. So, and I'll have to go back and look like just exactly what the numbers are, but I'm pretty good at remembering like what teams like sort of baseline averages are for their just, you know, in league average matchups or just what they're expected to do on a game to game basis. This is a really high run total for the Angels. So getting guys like, if they can hit Calhoun second, I hope they do. I'm not positive. They've been jacking him around the order. Trout in the middle of the lineup is a great play. He comes, you know, Trout of 4,900 on FanDuel is, that's kind of a deal for him. Like, you get down sure. to the under 5,000 range on him against a bad pitcher. He has no problems with splits or platoons. I think he's pretty neutral for his career. Might actually even be a little better against righties.
Yeah,
even
guys like neutral.
Even guys like Pujols coming really cheap. His days are long past him, but 2,700 against a guy like Latos. Like, this is a really good matchup, I think, to save on. And I think that just when we get a team who, let's say we're saying 20% higher than their typical implied run total, and for the same prices, this is the kind of matchup that you want to look for. So I don't mind stacking the Angels here. Where else? So with Dodgers, Angels, where else can we maybe look on the slate to grab a little value?
Well, I think the Cubs are another good one. You know, they're up against Tim Adelman, great Paul Park, as we already mentioned. Adelman, if you're probably not familiar with his work, he's just basically a non-prospect innings eater type. Never really flashed any sort of huge plus stuff in the minors. He's always had a pretty good ERA in the minors, thanks to decent control and an okay K rate. But just to me, profiles is kind of the classic guy whose skill set won't really translate to the majors. Picture a 4.5 ERA type. Schwarber still very reasonably priced, batting towards the top of the Cubs lineup. Chris Bryant, you know, there's just kind of value up and down the Cubs lineup too. So it'll actually be kind of interesting, you know, for cash game purposes. I actually think you could just take the best of all worlds here. You can play a handful of Dodgers, a couple Cubs, and you can just put together a really, really good lineup for me. In big tournaments, it's a little bit more interesting because I think people are going to need to decide which of these directions they want to go in. And I think you might wind up getting more separation on even some really good stacks tonight. Like, we often talk about how if you really want to get a separation in a big tournament, you need to go kind of deeper on stacks and just try to figure out, like, maybe I'll take this not so good offense against this terrible pitcher and see if I can get away with that. I'm not even sure you need to do that for big tournaments tonight. Like, I think you can get high upside guys at almost every position in a good matchup, in a good park, without trying too hard. So that's at least going to be my target to start. But yeah, the Cubs are, I think, play a big role in that.
Yeah, no, I think, for some reason, FanDuel just refuses to tick Schwarber's price up anymore.
He's up like to 3,600, Doug. That's a $200 price increase.
That's true. It only took him 2 weeks. Schwarber, all the Cubs guys you mentioned. I think, honestly, this is the kind of night, and hate to keep harping on this, but this is what happens with baseball. I think our system is just going to be geared toward GPP also, just because it doesn't have those Giants guys in there. Like, I think you're going to get slight separation just on that idea alone.
Really? And so you really think, like, if you had to peg Posey's ownership percentage in cash games, you think it's going to be more than 20%? I mean,
oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 4,500. It's gonna be close. The thing is, you don't have to pay a ton for pitching, and he's a name. Like, so you have that public idea of, you know, what you mentioned before, which I think is totally correct. The idea here being the public idea is Coors, and so now you get a name like Posey in a public stadium like Coors, and I think, well, what did you say, 20% or 40?
Yeah.
I think higher. Yeah, I said higher than 20%.
I guess it's hard because I guess this time of year we still do have a lot of casual baseball fans hanging around, and maybe a lot of them would play Posey. Like, I just have to think, like, come July, if this were the case, when, you know, it's mostly people just love baseball, people would have wisened up or been once bitten and twice shy on that, but maybe not. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, but as opposed to Posey, like, I'm way happier playing Grandal at 2,800, Victor Martinez at 2,700, assuming he's in the lineup today against the lefty. He's better on that side of the split for him. He plays Hector Santiago. I'd much rather play these guys. Like, you know, same with Brandon Belt. Brandon Belt is 3,900 probably gets your eye going because he's under 4,000. He's actually, of the Giants, he is actually not a terrible points per dollar guy. So he maybe wasn't the best example. But even still, I'd still probably rather play Pujols and Adrian Gonzalez and just be able to pay up for pitching because you are getting more safety. Like, you're going to make, if you, there's only so many of those paying up for price mistakes that you can make on a slate like this. And so you're not going to be able to fit, you know, a Kluber, Posey, Belt. You're going to have to give something away in equity, I think, at some point in your lineup to just get all those guys in. So I think that is also the mistake where people are going to make. And as always, we say, it's totally fine to run sort of multiple cash game lineups. You'll see that happen a lot, especially among bigger money players, just because it reduces your variance without giving too much away, considering just how variant baseball is.
Well, just how narrow the value is. I think that's right. Spot on. You know, like on a very typical day, you'll have a guy with like a 3.11 multiplier in terms of points per dollar in our system, and then like three guys from 3.04 to 3.10, right? And so it's like You're really not giving that much away just by doing a straight swap on two of those guys. And yeah, reducing your variance in the long term can feel very healthy for the mind. And really, there's enough edge in baseball that, you know, giving away a point, a fraction of a point, is much lower edge that you're giving up than having to take a week off because you're tilted because you've run bad for the week, right? So I think doing that kind of stuff for your own mental sanity makes perfect sense. I will say, back on the stacking tip, I think stacking strategy for big tournaments tonight actually is kind of interesting, because while there are some of these really obvious big money teams, you know, as everyone knows, when you're building a lineup, you probably are going to have to take some one-offs here and there. And there are, like, and I mean, just say you take one Yankee versus Tyler Glasnow or whatever. There are actually a lot of fairly interesting guys you can just kind of plug in from just across the league. So just keep an eye on it. I mean, we won't go into every single team here, but as you look at some of these names going tonight, from Willy Peralta to Tyler Glasnow, who I already mentioned, to Mike Fears, like there's Tim Adelman. There's a lot of guys going tonight that can get themselves into hot water. Jeremy Hellickson, I think, falls into that category. You know, maybe you just take Freddie Freeman as a one-off from Atlanta. There's a lot of little stuff you can do to get separation tonight for your big tournaments. And I think you could probably responsibly just stack one of those teams, even though they don't have the highest run total. There's a lot of guys with that potential just kind of get blown out of the room. Even CC Sabathia, you know. I think there's a lot going on here that I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, no, this is a good night. And that's what happens when you have, you know, a pretty clear-cut three to four top-tier-ish pitchers who aren't going to cost you an arm and a leg. Like, we don't have Kershaw going tonight where we need to make a decision, be like 13,000 Kershaw and really taking a hit on bats, or, you know, somewhere in the middle. Like, the fact that these pitchers aren't priced completely out of contention means you're going to get a guy that you probably feel okay with running in terms of cash games, like has some K upside in a decent matchup, decent money line, whatever, and then also be able to fit in some bats that you don't make you just like kind of want to puke, which is what happens when you get a guy like Kershaw going, right? Or even like Syndergaard to some degree last night. We're at 12,000. We're not in that case tonight. I would say mix it up, play a couple different stacks in cash, reduce your variance a little bit while giving yourself some upside. I think this is kind of the night that really defines that kind of strategy. All right.
Yeah, it's almost too hard to go too wrong, I think. You're ready to close, Doug, but I'm going to give one more adieu to our listeners and users out there. I think it's actually an interesting night, especially if maybe you haven't even been playing that much baseball, maybe you've been focusing more on basketball. It's an interesting night because it's not one of those nights where you're going to wind up with just complete bums probably in your cash game lineup. And sometimes I know that feels hard for people. Like the other night when we had Clayton Kershaw going, just had no shortage of questions in chat. Like, who is Yuli Gurriel? Who is Cordoba? You know? And it's like, those are the cheap guys that let us play Kershaw, right? Like Tonight you don't really need to make those kind of concessions. You can just get great fantasy viable guys up and down your lineup. And it's going to feel good putting those lineups in. And I think they'll perform too. So hope to see you in chat tonight. I'll be in there from 6 to 7 p.m. before lineup lock. And if you want to do some baseball, let's get it done.
All right, dfsr.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to that projection system. Head over there. It's just $29.95 a month after that. Head over to chat, ask some of our users how things have been going this season. They will give you their honest opinion, and you will sign up because the honest opinion is it's been very, very good so far. dfsr.com/MLB. I will talk to you again next week, buddy. Good luck with baseball tonight.
Thanks, man. Adios.